Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who is joining us this afternoon to talk about the third of the practice opportunities that is just rolling out now. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So you come in a long line of folks with good news for the Sangha.
I know. It's been a really exciting month, hasn't it?
It really has. So tell us what's the newest one.
Yeah, so I guess this is the third of our spring training opportunities. I love that name for it.
And
the program is called Stop, Drop, Text. And so what the program is it offers the participants opportunity to stop in their lives, drop into the moment, and notice to see anything that's going on with them, and then send a text, process text, to a trained facilitator and receive a response. And the opportunity is to do this 3 times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening.
So, you know, I'm familiar with this process, and I've been participating in the the beginnings of it. So I can't remember, Anna, is this the first time folks in the Sangha will be hearing about this?
You know, I think it is.
As I play it out, I'm thinking to myself, wow, if I was hearing this for the first time, I'd be really excited because it's a whole different kind of coming to the moment opportunity than I think many of the other things that we've done so far.
Yeah, it's a really fun thing. I think one of the the amazing things, my experience of, you know, we did a short pilot program of it, and my experience of it was really bringing practice. You know, there's so many different ways to bring in practice and sort of integrate life and practice and sort of notice that all of life is practice. And I feel like this tool is a really great way to kind of further do that.
Yeah, yeah. So let me just reflect the basics. So if you're a participant,
mm-hmm.
you are given the text number for a trained
mm-hmm.
facilitator. And
mm-hmm.
so 3 times a day, like sometime in your morning as you're starting your day, sometime in the middle of the day, and sometime towards the end of your day, you just stop, you look at what's going on, and in 50
mm-hmm.
words or fewer, you send off a text, basically like a personal email class 3 times a day. And then you get a response from the facilitator.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah, and the encouragement is to look at the process that's going on with you. And there's, online, if there isn't already, there will be some information about what is a process text and some examples of process text. And the idea is to really look at the how, you know, the how of your, how you're doing your day.
Right. So I'm in a really bad mood because I got in traffic and then, you know, the doctor was late to see me and all that's well and good. But the thing that you're going to stop and look at, as we always do in practice, is what's going on for you around that on a process level, and how are you practicing with that? And that's what
mm-hmm.
you keep texting.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yep. And then you receive a response from a facilitator to kind of help you look to see maybe what's next, or to maybe, you know, reflect a part of it that maybe you didn't quite see, or, you know, all the things that a facilitator can do for us in our practice to help us kind of clarify what's going on.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And I think it's, you know, one of the things that I sort of love about it is, you know, it's really helpful for me to kind of look to see what's going on for me and all the different things that I do during my day, you know, so like at work or at home. And, you know, and through the program, it sort of helps me see that commonality. Or like if I want to, you know, one thing that we've heard people do is they'll focus on a particular thing. Like I really want to look at what's going on for me around eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you could send all the texts around, you know, every time you eat, send in
mm-hmm.
a text to see what to do what you see. And so there's that flexibility for people to really integrate in the program into kind of what they're practicing with.
Yeah, I was just seeing as you said that, you know, we've been talking a lot recently about the awareness coaching program,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that it even takes that to kind of more minute, I can't even know a better word for it, but a level where, so for example, if you're working with your awareness coach on a particular thing, instead of having that weekly check-in, or not instead of, but in addition to, you could really bring that focus throughout your day in all three of your texts that you're sending
mm-hmm.
to her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that it's, you know, it's three times a day, and it, you know, as a participant in the program, I'm sort of committing to really check in with myself at least three times a day,
yeah.
which, you know, is a really, I don't know, it's a great effort. It feels like a very, you know, it's a great effort to do, and it also feels great to have someone doing that effort for me.
Yeah, I like your point about the, you know, it can run through all different areas of our life, because I think without realizing it, we can sort of train ourselves to check in, if you will, at certain points in our day, like maybe once the whole day is over and I'm finally sitting down in a chair, you know,
mm-hmm.
or maybe only first thing in the morning. But for,
mm-hmm.
very often for people sort of in the middle of their day, there isn't that as much awareness brought to what's going on. And so to have that structure of having the three
mm-hmm.
texts a day, I imagine can really offer a chance to a person to go, whoa, I never realized that such and such was going on during my work day or at lunchtime or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And you have it in text message too, so, you know, it's something you can look back at, and if you record it, if you don't have time at the particular moment you send the text and you receive the response, but it can also be a great tool for kind of integrating in the recording and listening practice.
Yeah. And I know, as you alluded to, that there was a group of folks who did a pilot just to kind of test it out, see how it went, and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Largely people who are going to be in the role of being able to offer it, to be the facilitators
mm-hmm.
on the end, other end of receiving the text. And it,
mm-hmm.
as you say, it was a really, really powerful experience. And just like, you know, one of the things that struck me through all of these interviews that we've been doing on the new practice opportunities is what a win-win it is for everyone, because it's such
mm-hmm.
a great opportunity for Sangha, and it's such a great opportunity for the folks who are being able to step forward and offer these opportunities as part of their practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, as the person who's receiving the text, and you're also called into awareness every moment that you receive a text. So it's like, you know, as a participant, you're actually helping bring your facilitator back to the present moment too, because that's what's required to kind of respond to a text. So it's definitely this win-win, where it's almost like we're kind of acting as each other's sort of bells or something, like
yeah.
the theme of the text, you know, to like bring us back to the present moment.
I love it. That's a great image. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a really fun thing, and it's not like three texts a day may sound like, oh, that's a lot, but my experience of doing it is it makes a huge impact, and it actually doesn't take that much time.
Yeah, because think about how many text messages is the average person sending a day right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot more
mm-hmm.
than three.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you said that, you know, we're all sort of being the bells for each other. I just had this image of, you know, Sangha all over the world, again, you know, however many hundreds or thousands of folks participate in the program, just kind of building this web of awareness. You know, so
yeah.
these texts are, you know, if you could see them, if you could see the, whatever it is, the things that send texts over the, through the ether, however that goes, you know, just
mm-hmm.
this kind of throwing these awareness strings across to each other, and how just the benefit of, to the whole Sangha, of everyone participating and doing that.
Yeah, I love that. And that's, you know, that's another thing I think that's really, I was really struck with the program, is just kind of, it's almost like tightening the web of Sangha, you know, kind of bringing us a little bit closer together, because we're really, you know, we have all the tweets coming in, but it's kind of this, I don't know if it's not personal in the personal sense, but it is like a personal in the sense that I'm tending to, the connection
yeah.
kind of thing that's happening three times a day with another Sangha member,
yeah.
which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And that it is individual, you know, in that same way that in the email class, it's not
mm-hmm.
personal. You know, Sherry doesn't
right.
even have any idea who each person is, but that she's taking the time, you know, each person gets to write in their response, and then each person has a chance for the guide to respond to their particular, you know, their particular way of looking at something. And so it's like that, where we each get,
yeah.
we get a chance to kind of have our particular focus for the day really get some attention.
Yep, from ourselves and also to get some guidance on it, which is helpful.
So you alluded to it may or may not be live on the web as we speak.
I think it will be live on the I think the plan was to get it live on the web today, so it should be up there today.
Great.
We're taking sign-ups. There is a limited number of spaces, so if you are interested in the program, I would encourage you to sign up as soon as you can.
Okay, great. And hopefully it will grow and grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We think this is going to be a really fun thing.
Excellent. Anything else you feel like folks should know or anything else you want to throw in before we end?
I think just, I mean, my experience with the program and just from hearing from other participants too is that, you know, if this is something that sounds interesting, I would just encourage people to try it because my experience of it was just, it was a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And it really did help me bring awareness to a lot of different areas of my life. And, you know, which is what, you know, I guess all practice does that, but it's just another, it's kind of a different thing. It's a little bit different. It, shakes things up a little bit. And, I feel really grateful that, I've had the opportunity to participate in the program, and I would just encourage anybody else who feels drawn to it to do that.
Yep. And, you know, that's the point of all of it, isn't it? Is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, we have all these fancy new tools and all these different ways that we're connecting with Sangha and that we're, you know, doing this in practice and that in practice, but the bottom line is the same everywhere all the time. We're waking up. And
mm-hmm.
all of it is an assistance to wake up. And so if you really want to wake up, here's another chance to, you know, wake yourself up. So
here's another chance. It's so exciting that there is so much support from Sangha right now. I just feel really grateful.
Amazing.
And I feel really lucky to be a part of it.
Me too. Yep. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Anna. And
thank you
for the program.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
It's really fun. All right.
Yeah, it is fun. All right, thanks a lot for having me on.
Oh, you're most welcome. Good night.
Great. Good night.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anna. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Nice to be here in this capacity.
Great. Great to have you here.
And I, you had warned me, and yet still, when you started introducing the show, I was like, who is this person?
Yeah, my voice is a little deeper today.
A little deeper, but other than that, okay, huh?
Other than that, I'm feeling good. I have a suspicion that conditioning goes after my voice, and I don't know exactly what that's about, but...
Well, given your role, that would really make a lot of sense.
It would, yeah, no kidding. And self-expression generally, I think. And
how are we going to stop him from putting on that radio show? I know. We'll take his voice.
We'll strangle him. Yes. And I'm glad to be here. And once again, I'm not navigating to the Living Compassion website, so just want to be clear about that.
more restraint and religious observances.
Yeah, a lot of that these days. And I'm really looking forward to that program. It sounds wonderful.
It's an excellent program. Yep. Another really stellar opportunity. I think it was you, actually, who was saying that we're closing off all of conditioning's either exits or entrances. I'm not sure which is quite the right term for it, but we know what we mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's great. And as you said, it's another tool to wake up and end suffering, and to the extent that that's important to us, we will take advantage of each of those tools.
Exactly. When we're really ready for it, really eager for it, then we'll go, oh, great, thank you. Another way to head conditioning off at the path. Another way to support the heart, you know, another way to wake up, because so often people talk about that in the middle of their day. You know, it's hard to remember.
Yes.
So when you have that commitment, you know, to stop, and, you know, we can talk about it, right? Stop, drop, and breathe. I mean, I think that's where the name came from. But if that's just an idea in the middle of your workday, A, how are you going to remember? B, where's the willingness going to come from when you're really in the middle of something?
Yeah.
Right? But somehow that commitment that involves, quote, another person really, really ups our chances. And then my experience is every time I do that, when I really, truly stop in the middle of something that conditioning really didn't want me to stop in the middle of, or there was huge resistance to, you know, just stopping and paying attention to the breath, I am so grateful that I did it.
No kidding. Yes. Yes, I'm having that experience right now as you're talking about it. So thank you.
We were talking about that in group the other day on Sunday, just that place of one of the huge things that we do for each other in Sangha is that someone will talk about an experience, and even if it's just completely different from what's going on with me right now, especially if it's someone's talking about sort of a centering type of experience they had and I'm completely identified, if there's the willingness, we just go right there. It's like we get swept down that beautiful river of life just by
yes.
listening to someone's words.
Yes, 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 exactly. And I don't know what it is about texting. I think Anna kind of touched on it, but it feels to me like it really reaches into my life, you know, in the sense that I always have this smartphone with me and I'm recording regularly and, you know, here's an opportunity for, you know, to text right in the middle of life and, you know, work or family or whatever's going on. Seems really valuable.
It is. I didn't have that image before, but as you said that, I got an image of like, just yeah, reaching, like awareness practice, reaching right into the middle of our lives.
Yes. Yes. And the word that keeps coming up to me is interrupting,
yes.
as in interrupting
yes.
conditioning, interrupting yes. whatever's going on.
Yep.
To focus on the process, as you were
yeah.
talking about.
Oh, that's so true. Interrupting the ego I identity, the unbroken me who just goes through my day.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Fabulous. And I have some announcements here.
Okay.
Register for our next email class on nutrition and fitness. This is April 29 through May 23rd. And learn how to up your game and care for the body.
Isn't that exciting? We're already on another email class. Wow.
It's incredible.
Yay.
Yay. And our next guidance day is June 7th. Speak one-on-one over the phone with an experienced practitioner about anything going on in your practice.
Cool.
Cool. And June 25th through 29th is the brand new Exploring Intimacy and Relationships retreat at the monastery. Take your well-being out of the hands of chance and discover a true source for unconditional love.
Take your well-being out of the hands of chance. That's compelling, isn't it?
It is compelling. Sounds like a very good idea.
It does sound like a very good. I think I might start before June 25th.
No kidding. No kidding. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406, and then you would enter your PIN followed by pound. A reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jennifer from Washington State.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm having a challenging time.
Are you?
Yes. Conditioning keeps winning.
Uh-huh. It keeps coming back.
It keeps coming back. It's not winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to have much of a chance with all these new offerings.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
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 And you know what's so great about it is, so you're in Washington, you know, you're not in Murphy's, California, but
nope.
It doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
No, and not only that, I'm like bedridden and housebound, and even that doesn't matter.
And even that doesn't matter. Woohoo!
Which is really good for me. Really
well,
great.
And, you know, that's interesting because really bad for conditioning, right?
It's
so
super bad for conditioning.
Maybe no mistake that it's coming at you so big.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I wanted to ask about was to maybe get some tips on, I've heard Sherry talking about calming energy and moving energy. And one, my thing, my health problem has a huge adrenal component, and so I get huge surges of adrenaline and cortisol in these periodic cycles.
Yeah.
So the bodily sensations are like somebody just injected me with adrenaline, but it just doesn't stop. And so it's just really, you can kind of imagine, like a alert, vigilant, hyper-vigilant, completely worried constantly, high heart rate, anxiety, all this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, and I get kind of immobilized because any kind of moving or enthusiastic talking, and sometimes even if I think quickly, it just revs up the machinery. So I'm always looking for ways to calm it down, but also to move it.
Yeah.
But then I'm kind of like, if I move, it revs it.
So the first thing that occurs to me, you said a minute ago, you mentioned all the sensations and the what's going on in your body, and then you said worry. So
Right, that's conditioning.
Yeah, so there's a place, it sounds like, where the what's going on physiologically in the body then gets attached to certain thought patterns in the mind,
Definitely. I can it's a really good place to practice because, you know, there's all these really loud and attention-grabbing symptoms. Can you still hear me okay?
Yep, I can.
Okay, good. I dropped my phone.
Oh.
And so just over the years, I've started to feel like I can, I'm starting to separate out better which things are conditioning, responding, and cycling and making the whole thing worse, and then just trying to sit with the actual sensations.
Yeah, yep. And so some of those stories that it comes in with are compelling, and at certain points you're vulnerable to believing them.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Especially at night when I don't sleep.
Sure.
Because it keeps, you know, it's a very wakeful state.
Yeah, very, you said alert, very kind of on,
Yeah, hyper-vigilant. It's like, it's an it feels like what you would call an emergency in the body, you know.
Right.
The sensations are the same as when you just had a car accident, say, or something like that.
And how much of the time when it's going on, do you believe that it is an emergency? In other words, so there you are, and all the cortisol starts going through, and the adrenaline's there, and all that's kind of pumping in the system. And then it starts in with, like, oh, my God, what if, whatever, or I don't know the particular content that it takes.
Right.
How much of the time do you then go there? Oh, my God, yeah, and oh, God, this and that. And
I would say about 25% of the time I'll get caught up in the story of, it's not so much, this has been going for years, and it goes on for like 6 to 8 months at a time, so I've had a lot of practice of not knowing. I mean, of knowing that it's actually not an emergency.
Okay, that's what I wondered, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the part I get caught up in is the story about how here it is again, how it's going to be like this forever, it will never change. This is my future, you know, this is my life, blah, blah, blah,
blah.
And how horrible it is, stories over and over. Just conditioning likes to get in there and chant and terrorize and just make it worse.
No kidding. Okay.
I say about 25% of the time.
Okay. All right. So it's got sort of levels. So it's first line, and what it used to use all the time, it sounds like, is, you know, oh, worry about this and oh, my God, that and like that. But you've been through it long enough that that doesn't catch you a huge percentage of the time.
No,
so
not really.
Its second line is, well, yeah, I mean, maybe you know that there's no big emergency, but, I mean, here this is again, and this is this
yeah,
is
and
kind
it's
of your
horrible.
And it's horrible. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's horrible because the sensation.
Because it's so uncomfortable, because it compounds itself, it builds. The biggest thing, I think, is you don't have any control over this.
And it's a you voice.
Yes,
right?
It is.
So that's really obviously self-hate,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I'm guessing you see, you know that, right? That it's
self-hate.
Yes. Yep.
You're helpless. This horrible, horrible thing is going to happen to you. It's going to last a really long time.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Kind of with like a neener on it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Just mean.
Very mean.
How much have you recorded when this is going on?
I have a lot of recordings. Uh-huh. I have tons of recordings.
In the middle of it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Uh-huh. I have my
this is what I call them tizzies.
Like. I'm sorry, what?
I was just going to say, recordings like this is what it feels like and this is what's going on in the body and
mm-hmm.
this is what makes it so terrible and...
This is what conditioning is saying and that's uh-huh. a lie.
Uh-huh. Do you ever hear from the mentor
uh-huh.
around it?
Yeah, I mean, thank God for practice. That's
uh-huh.
all I can say.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'd be. Yeah, when I can, get my wits about me in a way, I mean, I've really started to lean on, like, that's okay. The mentor will just tell us what to do, and then I just kind of, okay.
Yeah. So it sounds like where you are now is you've got a solid recording and listening practice around it. A lot of the times you don't believe the meaning that gets attached to all of it, but you're looking at is there a physical support that you can have as part of your repertoire?
Or some way to move.
Or energetic, I should say.
Yeah, because I just feel like I get clogged up because there's just no moving. Sometimes I can't even talk or sing.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just like looking like, is there some way to like, because I feel like it's where I feel the sensations are at the heart level.
Uh-huh.
Goes down my arms to my hands.
Yeah.
And that will be the sort of nerve-wracking feeling of the heart and kind of anxiety. And then when things calm down, that's where I feel calm.
Yeah. Okay. How much, I know you said that you're bedridden a lot of the time that you're in bed.
Sometimes I can get out, and sometimes, like, later in the day, like right now, I'm just sitting in the yard.
Yeah. Because I think that's that instinct to move is an interesting one, possibly really helpful. In some way, you know, I don't know what's available to you on the physical level in terms of movement, but likely it wouldn't take something terribly vigorous.
Right.
Just because two things occur to me. One that I've heard Sherry talk about and has been very, very helpful to me over the years, and I imagine you've heard her talk about this before, but especially for people with adrenal issues,
mm-hmm.
to lie down on the floor.
Yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah, that's really good. I have a I don't want to sound like a naysayer, but when I can't lie down vertically because I have all sorts of digestive stuff and I just get nauseated and. And so I've figured out that I could, like, recline in a kind of a firm chair and try to get my adrenals against there and you know, do that every hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, and it's not really a panic attack per se, but similar in energy. And I know that's another thing that that people talk about is in a panic attack, of course, what's going on, and really the same thing with what you're talking about, is that...
Yeah, it's very similar.
It's the story that gets so turned back in on itself.
Right.
And that it's why lying on the floor or leaning back in a chair or something, you know, it's to me what it is letting the entire body relax.
Right.
Now, which is not to say that the body is relaxed, because there may still be an enormous amount of cortisol, adrenaline running through the system. So maybe, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But still, the act of you consciously relaxing your muscles, to me, the magic of that is it's like a physiological message to the system of acceptance. Because... Uh-huh. What in that fight or flight?
You're fighting.
Right, you're fighting. Exactly.
You're resisting.
And that's the whole point of it, is like tigers coming out of the woods. You need that. You need that. But you're not threatened in that way. You're threatened by conditioning. But we're still doing energetically, we're still doing that same thing. We're fighting. And so there's a message to the whole system, something's scary and wrong here. And to me, that's why the relaxing the entire, like everything, like sometimes our yoga teacher will do something with us that might be kind of fun, but walking through the entire body, my toes are relaxing, I'm relaxing my toes.
Mm-hmm.
The soles of my feet are relaxing, I'm relaxing the soles of my feet. The tops of my feet are, literally, like just you can do minute. You could go on for hours in that way, from the bottom of your toes all the way up through the crown of your head. And that as the whole body's relaxing, it's a message to the system, yes, this is all going on, but it's completely all right. We're not in danger.
Well, that's great. I like that. Yeah. And I have plenty of time to do that.
Yeah.
I have no excuse for having no time, let me tell you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and it takes a while. And, of course, the main thing that's happening there is that the attention is getting focused where you want it to be.
Right.
So it's not a trying
that.
To change it. It's not a trying to make the adrenaline, because at least in my experience, there's no control over that.
Nope.
Whether the adrenals are going to fire, that cortisol shooting through the system, I truly can say from my own experience, I don't feel like there's any control over that at all.
I don't either.
So to me, instead, giving that message of complete unconditional love and acceptance to the whole system with a sense of, you know, we're in this together as long as it takes. I'm just going to lie here or sit here or whatever it is, and we're just going to love each part of the body as we go
up.
You know?
And tell it that there's no emergency.
There's no emergency. It's all right. Even the cortisol is all right. It's not ideal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I could choose it, I would take it away, but I don't think I can. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. I like it.
It's like being with a sick child, you know. I'm not glad you're sick. I wish I could take it away, but the reality is I can't, but we can be here together.
Right. That's very good. Thank you. I like it.
Yeah.
Fun. We'll have time to practice that pretty soon.
Okay, good. And then you'll report back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
good.
You.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. You're listening to Open Air. And, Jen, we have more callers here.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Peter calling from China.
Hey, Peter.
Hi. It's been a long time since I got a chance to call in.
Yeah, nice to hear your voice.
Thanks. And so wanted to check in. It's been so long. And one of the things that I was working on after the email class from the beginning of the year was Sherry had given me some advice to start using the calendar from I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It, and as a way to approach doing things each day without being like a task list. And so I've been doing that ever since, and it's been quite helpful, and it's also been kind of fun to watch how conditioning likes to try to step in. So for me, like I have a set of things that I'll do every month, and then I'll slightly change them perhaps from month to month. But then what I noticed that happens is because I try to avoid writing things like I will do something for exactly how length of time, or it'll look a certain way. Rather, I'll just say something like, I will read a bit of, like for me, one of the things I'll work on is my Chinese. So I'll say, I'm going to read a passage of Chinese today. You know, like that'll be as far as I'll take it to try to avoid conditioning to try to get in there and be like, well, you didn't read for so long, or you didn't read something that was more difficult, or you didn't, you know what I mean? That kind of.
Yeah.
And so, but I do find that where it likes to step in, though, and is it still likes to, sometimes it'll be really late and it'll be right before bed. And, I didn't really get a chance to 100% do something, but I kind of did. And that's where I find it tricky. Because then that's where I find the conversations. I get caught in a conversation.
Like a review. Like, oh, you did that. And...
Yeah. Like, well, you kind of did it, and there's not enough time to really do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And but you kind of did, but well, you, but you really didn't. If you really kind of think about it, you didn't really do it like you would probably like to feel like you did. And that's the way it gets me.
And you said you were looking at this kind of post the email class. I think you said that in the beginning.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
and
this is a total.
Go ahead. This is.
Oh yeah, this is totally a result of some encouragement I got to, you know, something I could use. So yeah, after the email class.
Yeah, because what occurred to me is the part about not keeping score.
Uh-huh.
Remember that part of the email class?
Yeah, absolutely. Like not, just not letting conditioning have a chance to grade, right?
Exactly. Because, of course, all the things I'm guessing on this list are things that
mm-hmm.
you really want to do, that really support you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, it's like, it sounds like some of the attention is going to, well, I mean, I didn't do as much as I could have, or, you know, don't really have the time to do it well now, or where it could be kind of a celebration of what you did do and then setting the intention for the following day.
Uh-huh. That's really helpful. Yeah, kind of like, because you're right, like in the sense that reality is like, it's not that I didn't do it and in a lot of cases and why not just celebrate however it ended up looking for the day and make it a celebration. And like you said, like if there's an opportunity to do it better the next day or set it up in a way that I really don't forget or I really do have a lot of time for the next day, you know, then do that.
because in my experience, as you say that, it makes it so clear that if we get sort of punished, if you will, that can seem like
mm-hmm.
an extreme word, but it sort of is like that. If we get chastised for
how
well we didn't do, you know, how poorly we did, it doesn't really boost the morale for, you know, going out there and making a difference the next time. So I wonder, there's a place in there, it seems like, where sort of checking in with the whole team, because I'll bet you a bunch of different folks put various things on that list. You know, it's not all for one,
mm-hmm.
the one guy, one Peter. There's probably all kinds of needs that are getting met there. And to have a little check-in, a holistic check-in at the end of the day and say, hey, how'd it go? And you can say, oh, I was so glad we got to read that fun Chinese book and I liked the part where such and such. And maybe someone else gets to say, you know, to be honest, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to go for a run today. And with no judgment, like, of anyone else, oh, yeah, bad, wrong person for not going for the run, but just, oh, gosh, that guy really wanted to run. He didn't get to. Hey, let's maybe prioritize his for sure tomorrow because he didn't get to today.
Yeah. Not exactly. Like, have it in a way, it's almost, as I think about it, it's kind of like at work when, you know, we're looking at something. To be honest, most people where I work want to keep the focus on the positive side of things. So it doesn't really get too supportive to go into the whole, like, well, it didn't, you know, this person didn't do that. Rather just like, so what can we do to sort of help encourage that this person gets to do what we want them to do?
right.
Yeah. In a sense, it seems very similar. Yeah. That is helpful to kind of keep the focus of attention on that part. Yeah. That's really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be such a fun end of the day check in for everyone.
Absolutely. And even though I did want to say too, is even though I don't get a chance to call in as much as I'd like, I'm figuring it out though. So like how to using the internet to call phones and I think, you know, I found a way that may help. But I just to let you guys know that I listen all the time, even though I'm all the way on the other side of the world. So.
Good. Oh, thanks for letting us know. That is nice to know, because, you know.
Yeah.
It's just
soundtrack on the way to the subway every morning.
right. God, you're in a vastly different time, a whole different day than us.
yeah, completely different time zone.
Hey, the only other thing I want to throw out, Peter, have you heard at all in any of the Sangha discussions the talk about using stickers as a fun way to mark your intentions for the day?
Oh, yeah, I actually went and bought a whole load. That was a little, I didn't say that, but yeah, that's the sticker
that's
part.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and real quick, too, the stickers, like, I do use those, and I've never missed a day, but sometimes, though, if I did notice that when I would get in the conversation, the stickers, I wouldn't put one on for something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was also kind of looking at that, but actually, that's okay, too. I've kind of gotten to a place where it's like, yeah, okay, there's a sticker that wasn't there, and it's like, okay, there's a sticker that's not there. it's like, oh, that's interesting, you know, not try to be like, get into some, like another conversation with conditioning about, well, yeah, look at that, you didn't do what you said you were going to do, you know.
Exactly. And I'm finding the same thing, that there's so many different ways to work with it. And of course, the point
mm-hmm.
of all of it is just to pay attention, you know. So
mm-hmm.
some days, you know, I really didn't do the thing I wanted to do, and so I don't put a sticker there. On my list, one of the ways that I've done it is that I have sort of a whole bunch of things I can choose from. Some of them are
mm-hmm.
mandatory, you know, like I want to take such
mm-hmm.
and such supplement every day or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But others
uh-huh.
of them, you know, there's no way I would do them all in one day. You couldn't, you know, unless
yeah.
I have a day where I'm not doing anything else, and then I can do them all. But so there are always going to
uh-huh.
be, quote, you know, empty spaces for the stickers, but those aren't failures.
Uh-huh.
Those are just a marker of where I decided to put my resources that day. And it helps me because, again, with the, you know, the example of the guy who wanted to go for a run. So
mm-hmm.
then if I don't have a sticker there for a few days, then that one gets to rise to the top for the next, oh, I'm really going to prioritize that one next day because she hasn't gotten her chance for a while.
Yeah, kind of like, I see. I didn't even consider that, like putting more on, like intentionally kind of putting more on that's possible
mm-hmm.
and looking at it as a way just to kind of see overall. But that's another way to look at an approach is kind of, like you said, like just, yeah, like, okay, so I see there's something that hasn't been on there. Great, let's get that on
yeah.
there for tomorrow kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's a helpful new way to kind of, for me to, yeah, this is good for me to get right out of that conversation and
yeah.
back into just let's, using this as a tool.
Yeah, just a fun tool to support you, not to make it a contest.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, great.
Good.
Well, that's helpful. Yeah, thank you so
Thanks
much.
For taking
yeah, good stuff. All right, well, you guys have a great rest of the show, and I'm glad I could figure out how to use this technology to get on this time. Maybe we'll hear from me more.
Yeah, excellent. I hope so. Thanks, Peter.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Peter. You're listening to Open Air. Another shining light in China, Jen. That's great.
I know.
So fun.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll be able to do it this year, but someone had a beautiful 11th hour idea right before the bridge walk that we couldn't implement, but of having a map that people could go onto on Living Compassion website and mark where they're doing their little events for the.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that be fun? Just
that
all over the world, these pinpoints of Sangha. Yep.
Oh, yes. Great. So next year then.
Next year, exactly.
Great. Jen, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be right back.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Jen.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm calling. This is kind of my commitment to call each month and early in the month, and I was just sitting here, you know, listening to other callers. It's been a great radio show. And I was about to hang up because I thought, you know, nothing to contribute and better wait until something brilliant comes in. Well, actually, more than that, even that I think that there was, and maybe this is a process that I'm seeing, is that, you know, conditioned mind will tell me that, you know, if you just work harder, then you'll have something, you know, something will happen if you just record and listen more, or if you just offer more compassion to yourself, and then just wait until that time, and then, you know.
Right. So work harder, and then the brilliance will arrive, and then you can call in, but not now, I mean.
Yes, and especially do not call if you're confused or frustrated or anything like that.
No, anytime when it might be useful, definitely don't call them.
Right, yeah. So that's kind of what's been happening for me in the last 30 minutes.
I think we could safely say, I bet everyone on the call can relate.
Yeah, and it seems so believable, you know, in the world of conditioned mind and self-hate, it's really, it seems, I mean, that's how things operate, actually.
Yeah. That's how we get caught time after time, isn't it? That when we're in it, it seems absolutely true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's great to have this breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And
open,
you know, and yeah, fresh air on open air, and to, you know, just kind of air it out and not have to.
Let me ask you, Virginia, are you saying that, like, literally, like, right before you were unmuted, this was all going on?
Oh, yeah. Like, I almost, especially when our sponsors came on, mm-hmm. I almost hung up. I mean, it was like that. I was really close. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me that that perhaps, you know, that waiting to have something brilliant or till something else happens, you know, might be, not only a lie, but something that happens, you know, more than I think.
Like is one of the things that controls us in our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
That keeps us from realizing this is my life.
Yes.
Right here, now, this is my life.
Yeah. Yeah, it keeps me from realizing, that's it, beautifully put. It keeps me from realizing that this experience that I'm having right now is my life.
Yeah.
And there's no parallel. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Just no parallel universe. There's not a place where something different exists in this moment.
And were you not being told, were it not being assessed by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, it would be a perfectly perfect moment.
Yeah, were it not
assessed.
I'm sorry.
Compared.
Compared.
Yeah.
Yes, if we're not being compared by conditioned mind to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, you know, and I hesitate. Perfect is kind of the perfect word, because in that way that life is perfect, it's not always sunny. It's not always, you know, spring. It's not always warm. But it's always perfect.
Yeah.
And so in that same way, whatever's going on with us, including an identification with conditioned mind, which is so small and can so easily be held in the perfection of the moment.
Wow. Can you say more about that, how it's so small and can so easily be held within the perfection of the moment?
Like, so there you are, and you're being talked to, you know, I mean, you don't have anything brilliant to say, and you really should be working harder. And, you know, if you would just have brilliant insights, then you can participate in the radio show. But, I mean, not now like this. And so then you see that. You see that that's going on. And
that
all of that happening and momentarily Virginia getting believing that and getting caught up in that, that's all perfect too.
Mm.
Like there's no problem with any of that.
Yeah. So I'm going to just take that a little bit further. There's no problem with any of that, and then there's no problem if there's confusion or, you know, like a ping-pong match or even any of that. There's
no,
it can all be held. Yes.
And what just dropped in as you said that was it's a parallel to, so with the first caller where we were talking about, okay, so there's the cortisol and the adrenaline shooting through the system, and then we lie down on the floor and relax all of our muscles, and the system is still doing what it's doing. Like, we're not trying to stop the cortisol. There's no idea that we could, although we all know from our experience that, of course, eventually that is what happens, that acceptance and that letting go has a huge impact on the entire system, including, for sure, the adrenals. But not going into it with that intention sends that message of that's a perfect life experience. There's nothing wrong there. And in that same way, so we're confused or we're in a ping pong match or whatever, calling into the radio show and talking in the middle of that is that same equivalent as lying down on the floor and relaxing all the muscles.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I think so. So
that's
because, you know, lying... What's that?
I said, was that too much of a leap?
No, I don't think so, because you're saying, I think what you're saying maybe is that lying down on the floor and relaxing all the muscles is, you know, it's a coming back to ourselves, to our senses. It's it's turning toward the body sensations, relaxing, accepting, right?
Acceptance.
And yes. And then the same for, you know, being identified, to expand the container a little bit so that it can hold, or a lot even, so that, because it can hold all of that.
Right. And that calling into the radio show is it's a communication. It's a signal to the system. Because, of course, you said it perfectly. You're not supposed to call into the radio. You're supposed to not be allowed to call into the radio show because you're not being the right person. You're not having the right experience. But if you call into the radio show, in the middle of the confusion, the ping pong match, the whatever, when you're supposedly the quote wrong person, then what's communicated to the system is you don't believe that. You don't buy into that. That's conditioning's idea. You're allowed to have whatever experience you're having, and it's fine.
Oh, yeah. I think I hear what you're saying. So by calling into the radio show, I'm refusing to buy into conditioned mind system of trying to keep me silent and alone and isolated, and rather just kind of putting the neutrality sign up, like this is an experience I'm having and it's okay to have it, it's okay
right.
to talk about it, it's
right.
Yeah,
I'm allowed to have any experience, obviously, because I'm having it.
Right, that is such a beautiful point, and wow. Yeah, that's something where I get a little bit tied up, I think, on that often, that the experience gets judged, and then, then, of course, it triggers a whole lot of other things.
The experience of whatever, like something that's called identification, that gets judged.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so perfect, isn't it? Because the identification, of course, is conditioning, and then the way to keep it in place is to judge you for having it.
Right. Yes.
But again, the calling into the radio show is on some level, it's a recognition. It isn't me. I just need assistance with remembering that.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right, Jen. I think that even in this instance, I can see that the calling in is an invitation to to be, you know, to bring that gentle presence to whatever is happening, because I mean that's what's being offered to me, and if I'm willing to accept it, you know, to meet that, it changes.
Yes, exactly. And at that point, the change is almost immaterial because we're in acceptance. So we didn't need it to change, but it does.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Wow, yeah. Yes, right. We didn't need it to change because, right. Yeah, that's funky.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to leave now so someone else can speak.
Yeah,
thank
and maybe
you very
just
much.
A big congratulations recording, huh?
Yes.
For
yeah.
staying on the line.
For staying on the line. And I really am going to look at that, kind of see if I can make some recordings about that, that nothing needs to change idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing needs to change. It's perfectly all right, just how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. So beautiful. Okay, thank you very much, Jen.
Thanks for staying on the line.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, Michael, for the offering also. Good night.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. Let me get these controls here. Okay, I think we're ready for another caller. Jen?
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Jen and Michael. This is Claire.
Hey, Claire.
Hi.
Hey. So, what I'm looking at kind of follows on a little bit from what we've been talking about nothing needs to change. And also the process of, you know, part of me wanting a change. So, I have been seeing how much this being's life is ruled by the karma to be busy and do, especially in the work environment.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a point where I'm really kind of wanting to make a change.
Mm.
And then I notice that then when I want to make the change, then conditioning comes in with standards around how that needs to happen and what that's going to look like and how I'm going to do that change.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of like doing on top of that.
Got it. The change
yeah.
itself. Now, are you talking about a process or a content change?
Well, a process.
I mean, like, are you change as in, like, I'm going to change in my work situation or that kind of thing, or more just
no.
you're changing how you go about it?
How I go about it, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to, yeah. And also, like, a part of my process is that if I'm going to change how I go about my work, that might mean that there might be a change in my work, but I don't know. Well, what's most important initially is just to change, like, you know, my relationship with my work and the amount of hours that I put in my work and
okay,
where
so
I am in my work.
You're seeing this is not sustainable. This is not something I don't want to approach my work in this way. I want to change something. I want to make a difference with this situation.
Yes. Yes.
And that when you go to do that, you realize that the very same system that you're attempting to have an impact on is going to try to be the thing that makes the change.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm seeing. Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's that place of, like, you know, everything is perfect and, you know, where I am is great, but then I want to make a change.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I mean, the irony, of course, is that if right now someone could just wave their magic wand and have you be just completely okay, whatever that would be, relaxed and, you know, in well-being and what you're doing, I'm guessing that would be the change.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's a bit of an irony, isn't it?
It's a bit of a Zen koan. It's a bit kind
it's
of...
It's a bit of a Zen koan.
And also for the karma of the person, of the karma to say, you know, you got to do and standards and things, you know, and all that stuff. Just being well-being is not a part of that paradigm.
And so I should ask you that, Claire, what if you were to say, I don't know if you've articulated this yet, like in recordings and that kind of thing, but if you were to make this change in how you approach your work, what would you have? What would be, what's the end result you would say you're going for?
Oh, the work didn't take up as much of my energy. You know, and that when I'm at work, I'm more relaxed and enjoying and happy and not concerned about the workload that I have. Just do what I do and trust that what doesn't get done doesn't get done.
Okay. So relaxed, enjoy it, happy, not being talked to constantly about how there's so much to do and, you know, you're probably not going to be able to get it done, but instead kind of being in a sense of just trusting that, well, what gets done will get done, what needs to get done will get done, and other things that'll be fine that they don't get done, that sort of thing.
Yes, yes. Huh? I feel my body relaxing when we talk about this, and I also hear the voices screaming about how impossible.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. You know, one of the things I can relate, and I'm sure we all can, but one of the things I like to remind myself about is that, you know, it's interesting, of course, that we're all old enough that we've been doing this for a really long time, and we've had content in our lives for a really long time, and every day a certain amount of stuff gets done and a certain amount of stuff doesn't get done. And so far, there have been no drastic results of that.
Right.
Because we're still here talking about it.
Right?
So
you have to have that really big perspective.
It's interesting that in a way we all know, we all actually have the experience that life does in fact take care of the things that really need to happen, and the other things don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's so helpful to remind myself, because then it kind of does free me up to then start practicing on the process level. All right. So if that really isn't true, A, I'm going to need a lot of support for remembering that that's not true, because the story about there's so much to do and you really got to do it and there are going to be dire consequences if you don't, it's so strong that I'm going to need a ton of support to keep remembering that that's not real.
Right, that story is not real, that everything gets done in lifetime, and, you know, to trust that what needs to be done will be apparent and will get done.
Yeah, exactly. And that then I begin to be able to actually practice the pieces that you were talking about, the enjoyment, the relaxation, maybe even having a little fun while I'm at work.
Right. Right, and taking care of just being at work too, you know, taking breaks and going for a little walk outside and stuff like that.
Do you do that?
Not very much, no.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it would drive conditioning crazy if you started to do that. Have you thought about signing up for the stop, drop, and text?
Yes, I think that would be a good practice opportunity for me to
really
use that opportunity to help me to remember that everything gets in lifetime and to take a little break.
It really, you know, what I just thought when you were talking, Claire, is that it seems so powerful to get clear on what's important to us and what our intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to get swept up in the daily content of life, like
mm-hmm.
our work or, you know, my obligations to my family or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But to reconnect with very regularly, what's really, really important to me? Well, being relaxed, being awake, being aware, being
mm-hmm.
here, you know, all mm-hmm. those things. Okay, if that's really, really important to me, then what can I do to start prioritizing those processes, even as all the content of my life is going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's great that you said that, because I was just thinking today about, you know, what's important to me. You know, why am I putting so much energy into this job when it's not a priority of mine to earn a lot of money? And what is important to me is to, you know, end suffering.
Yes.
And to you know, spend time with the people that I love.
Yeah.
So that really made me think deeply about, you know, how I'm spending my time and my energy, and
yeah.
It was a big impetus for wanting to make a change.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as you say that, it's so good to remind ourselves that the change that I project you're talking about is a deep intention to align your values with your heart, if you will. And so to remember that that's the, it's tricky to talk about because what I want to say is that's never going to come on a content level. You know, so if we get stuck thinking, okay, if I could just, you know, this and that and get this lined up and that lined up, then I would be able to. I mean, you've done practice long enough to know that that's not the case.
Right.
Which is not the same as, and so you got to stay in this terrible, awful situation because to prove that you're a good spiritual person and you can be happy anywhere. You know, that's the other side that people take
right.
it to. But that it just occurs to me that as you go through this process of, as you say, maybe in the end it will mean some change, maybe cutting back your hours or having a different job situation or whatever. But all the way along the way, not to have that as your focus, but instead, in this moment, how can I have what I want? In this moment,
right.
In this moment, in this moment.
Right. Right. Yes, in this moment, can I be relaxed in my body? Can I enjoy what I'm doing? Can I be present to what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Can I stop listening to those voices?
Yeah. Yes, yes, exactly. Because if I end up making a quote change, it will come from a place not that there's something wrong that I need to fix. It will just come from a, there's something else to do now.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And I just saw that's a really powerful difference between, oh, there's something wrong and I got to fix this. Or, you know, I'm just really paying attention and watching life lead. And life's leading in this other direction now.
Right. 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 Yeah, so that fits in with what I was saying at the beginning about when nothing has to change, everything is okay. And yet I want to align myself with my priorities for my life because my life is precious. I only have one special human life.
Exactly.
And as I align with my as I align with my heart, then I trust that, you know, life's going to unfold for me.
Yep. And I think, you know, as we're talking, Claire, I think that probably is the key difference, isn't it? It's a, you know, so we talk about there's no need to change. And yet, as you say, there's that Zen koan of, but there's this deep place that my heart is calling to make a change. And I suspect what the, from the condition place, change is something's wrong. From the life place, change is a call to another direction. Or, you know, I don't know exactly how you would phrase that, but it's a completely different orientation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the condition place, change means there's something wrong, and from the condition place, conditioning also has an idea of what the change is going to look like.
Exactly.
And have standards around how I'm doing towards getting to that goal. Whereas from the heart place, you know, that's
life is changing constantly.
Indeed.
every single minute, we can't even measure the minute pieces of time. So, I mean, it's funny, actually, as you say that, it's like, what does that even mean, make a change? We're always changing.
Right, yes. Yeah, from the heart place, it's not about a change. It's just about more alignment with the heart and with taking care of this being and, you know, and enjoying this life that I've been given.
Yeah, enjoying this life that I've been given. Oh, yeah. That's a life purpose right there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying this life that I've been given.
And it's also helpful to me to remember that as I work to be present and enjoy this life more, that there's a benefit to all, that this being benefits, that just those around me also benefit from being in the presence of relaxed human beings.
Yep, which we don't want to give, you know, over to the hands of self-hate on the other side of that. But, boy, is that my experience. And as far as it seems to me that just benefit to life, period. You know, just that having an awake, aware presence What a pleasure for everything.
Yeah. We've been given this precious gift of life, and life really wants for us to enjoy and express and be connected to all that is.
But that is the thank you, isn't it, for the incredible gift we've been given of life, is to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point, because think about, you know, when you, the pleasure of giving a gift to someone, and how fun it is when they really receive it and delight in it.
Yes.
We don't want them to work hard around it.
No. And we don't want them to just, like, unwrap a little bit and take a peek at the corner. We want them to fully embrace it.
It's yours. Oh, no, I couldn't. This is way too much for me. I really.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good image. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Claire. Yeah,
helpful and
care.
Delightful. Yeah, take care.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. You've been listening to Open Air. Jen, it's been a great pleasure to have you on the air tonight.
It's always a pleasure, Michael.
Yes. Wonderful.
Thank you for being there, no matter how your voice sounds.
Great. Thank you, Jen.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.